punishment is motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed, whereas discipline is motivated out of love and focuses on future character. Remember, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Discipline is motivated out of love. I remember Aaron, when he was younger, he would steal, cheat, lie, kill, murder, maim.
Well, to find out what happened to Aaron, you'll have to stay tuned. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, A Family Affair, where we began learning about the different types of families we are all part of and how they can shape our eternal destiny. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, A Family Affair.
So the first family is the family of our birth. Now let's take a look at our second family, and that is your present family. It's your home right now. It's your family at home, where you are right now. Now let me speak to parents and let me speak to children. There are certain commands with specific benefits to this. Let's read this first one here in Ephesians 6, 13. And by the way, 1-3. By the way, this, what you're about to read, comes right out of the 10 commandments. And it is reiterated in Ephesians 6, 1-3. Let's read it. Go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your... Now, because this comes out of the Old Testament, it was originally written in Hebrew, that word honor is the Hebrew word kabod, which actually means weight. It means you may not always agree with your parents, but when they speak, give weight to their words. Let their words have weight in your life. Don't just dismiss it. Oh, that's stupid. You're old school. You don't even know what's going on. You have no idea. No. The Bible says you may not always agree with, but at least give weight to what they're saying so that you consider it. You think about it because it may alter your future for the better. Give weight to it. And here's the benefit. Are you ready for the benefit? It's not in your notes, but I put it up on the board and let's read it. Go. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live. Ooh, how many of you would like things to go well with you? Raise your hand. Yeah. And how many of you would love to live long on the earth? Yeah. That's the best beauty secret age-defying formula you'll ever find. Better than drinking vegetable juice and liposuction. Right here. Honor your father and your mother. Give weight to their words and their input into your life. And when you do, the Bible says, I, the Lord, will make sure that things go well with you and that you live long. Not just chronologically long, so that you live till 104 or something, but more so that you'll have a long shelf life with your marriage instead of a short one. Like it's going on every 30 seconds, a divorce takes place in America. Do you understand how short our life has become? And I'm not talking chronologically. Our life has shortened with friendships, with jobs, where we live, relationships, marriages. It's everything is shortening up. And the Lord is saying, if you'll obey my commands, one of the benefits is I'll give you a longer shelf life in everything, including your life, but including relationships, so that it'll go well with you and that you'll live long on the earth. What a beautiful, beautiful promise that is. So you say, well, Wayne, this present home, what is it all about? What is the main core? Here it is. Do you know your present home is the repository from which you will gain, here it is, discipline. Now, you got to know what discipline is. Discipline is something that's transferable to every area of your future. You're going to need this thing called discipline in your marriage. When you get angry, you're going to need self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, watch this, and self-control or discipline. You're going to need it in your job when you want to tell the boss where to get off. When someone gives you a hard time, you're going to need discipline. On the H1, you're going to need discipline. You're going to need discipline where do you get that? In your present home. You miss that, you're going to be foolish out here. Really? Uh-huh. Let's read the next verse and you'll see what Proverbs 22 says. Read it with me. Go. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of will drive it far from him. Watch this. Foolishness is what? Foolishness is what?
Bound up.
Bound up. Watch this. Here's foolishness. It's bound up in the heart of a child. Can't get it out. But the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. You're left with discipline. That's what you need for every other application of your life, for your future success. Now, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. If you as a parent do not bring discipline to your children, they will be 45 or 50 years old and you'll go, gosh, that was so stupid of him. Why did he do that? Why did my daughter make that decision? That's so foolish. Why did he go after that relationship with our grandkid? Oh, that's so foolish. You have only to rewind the tape and take a look. Did that son or daughter get discipline enough so that foolishness is driven far? So that they'll at least recognize when they're doing something foolish and self-correct. What? Self-correct. What? Self-correct. Takes discipline. See, your future does not belong to the well-meaning Christians. Your future belongs to those who understand the discipline of the Christian life. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Now, some people say, Wayne, wait a minute. I know some dads that beat the snot out of their kids, and those kids are still foolish. Ah. There's a big difference between punishment and discipline. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But let's take a look at discipline. Read this, would you? Go. Those whom the Lord, he, those whom the Lord, what?
Love.
So discipline comes out of
love.
Remember that. That's very, very important because there is a huge difference between punishment and discipline. I'm going to come back to that in a second. But let me talk a little bit about discipline. You're going to have either a child with good discipline or you're going to have a child of entitlement. Entitlement is, what's in it for me? How much do I get out of this? It's someone who gets up to bat and thinks that they should start from third base, not in the batter's box. I should be starting at third base here. See, there's a big difference. Entitlement, because you're going to have, by the way, jobs that are going to require or demand much of you. And entitlement enters a job like that, and the question is this. Entitlement asks, what am I getting out of this? Whereas discipline looks at the difficult task and says, wow, what will I become because of this? I'll learn software programs. I'll learn discipline. I'll learn time management. I'm going to learn punctuality. I'm going to learn what it takes to succeed because of this. Entitlement says, what do I get out of this? Discipline says, oh, it's tough, but what will I become? I tell people, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. On yourself, your self-control, your discipline, your time management, your people skills, your insight, your wisdom, your ability to persevere, endure. Because when you work on yourself harder than you work on your job, people at your job will become automatic beneficiaries of your improvement. Because just like I said about the past, God saw my future and said, for you to fulfill my assignment that I have in store for you, you got to be much better than you are right here. And so it's going to require discipline. It's going to require something more of you. I remember when I went to my high school reunion, it was about 30-some years later. And by that time, I'd written about a dozen books. And one of the people that had read some of my books, when I went back to the reunion, he said, man, I never thought in a million years that that scrawny Wayne Cordero would write the books that I'm reading. And I smiled and I said, that Wayne Cordero that you knew 30 years ago did not write the books you're reading. It took a substantially improved version of that Wayne Cordero to write the books that you're reading. Do you know what I had to go through in the changes and transitions and transformations? You see, there's got to be an increase of who you are in order for you to have a fulfillment of what God has assigned. And so entitlement says, what do I get out of this? Discipline says, what do I become because of this? Well, some people say to me, they say, hey, well, I got to make a living. Yeah, you do. I say to them, well, but you can never have more than what you currently got until you're willing to become more than you currently are. And if you think you can stay the way you are and just increase in profit, you're dreaming. You can never have more than you got until you become more than you are. And that's where the word discipline and discipleship come in. Same thing. And that's why Jesus was discipling the 12, because he knew the assignment the Father would have for them. He was hard on Peter, but Peter became the head of the church. Let me go back now to the difference between discipline and punishment. Hey, I know a dad that beats the snot out of his kid, and his kid is still foolish today. Because there's a big difference. Remember this, discipline is biblical, punishment is not. Would you write that in? Discipline is biblical, punishment is not. Why? Let me tell you the difference between the two. The first is this, punishment is motivated out of anger and focuses on a past misdeed. You stupid kid, look what you did. You stupid kid, you do that again, I'll kill you. Stupid. Oh, was that discipline? Oh no. Punishment is motivated out of anger. Remember, you're gonna reproduce what you are. Because if you don't have discipline, neither will that kid. Because you're gonna reproduce your angry spirit right into him. Yeah, but I disciplined. No, you didn't. You transferred the worst of what you have to your child through anger. Don't you call that discipline. It's called punishment. Punishment is motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed, whereas discipline is motivated out of love and focuses on future character. Remember, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Discipline is motivated out of love. I remember Aaron, when he was younger, he would steal, cheat, lie, kill, murder, maim, everything. And I remember once he talked back to his mother, and I called him into the living room, and I said, Aaron, Dad's going to discipline you, and I cannot allow you to talk back to your mother. I'm not going to let you do that. Because if I allow that and turn my head, you'll do it again and again, because that way you think you can get your way. And then one day, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do that in your future. You're going to do that to your boss. You're going to do that to your board of elders. You're going to do that to other people. You're going to do that to your wife. You're going to do that to everybody because you think that you can get your way by talking or getting mad or showing verbal anger. No, right now, I love your future more than you do. Get in the room. You see, discipline focuses on future character and is motivated out of love. I love you too much to let you do that. I'm not going to do it. And when he receives discipline, that takes foolishness out, and he can take this into his job, into his marriage. You understand the transferability of that? Foolishness is going to decay everything. Discipline will treasure everything. Huge difference. So that's motivated out of love. Now, when it says the rod of discipline will remove that far from him, the foolishness, it doesn't mean just a stick. It doesn't mean a rod. It could mean anything that you will do. It could be a talk. You're going to spend time with me today. You're going to come to my office, and you're going to stick on my hip today, Aaron, and we're just going to be together. Oh, I don't want to be with my friends. Nope, you're staying with me. I'm your best friend. Remember, discipline develops future character. And if you miss it here in your present family, it could destroy your future there. And when your parents are given, first of all, parents, please do be a people of wise discipline, not angry punishment. But don't miss it, because if you do, they will one day miss it too. And they'll come into marriage and they'll wish they would have developed the tensile strength necessary to have a long life. Sons and daughters, receive that, because God knows what He has for you in the future. Because what you're learning today is going to be key to tomorrow. Very key to tomorrow. Let me tell you a story that I've told before, but it bears retelling. There was a carpenter that was a master carpenter, built fabulous homes, and he was coming to a time of retirement. 30 years had gone by building homes for this boss, so he finished his house, and he said to his boss, "Great, now I can retire." And the boss said, "Hey, listen, I just got another job. Could you build one more house?" And he said, "Boss, I've been telling you for the last year and a half I want to retire." He said, I know, but you're my best master carpenter. Can you just do one more house?" He said, "No, I don't want to do it." He said, please, would you just do one more house?" And he kicked his tire on his truck and he said, "Oh, man, all right. Just one more, though, that's all." He said, "Oh, thank you. So he put on his belt again, began building this other house, but he was kind of upset. He didn't want to do this. I'm supposed to be retired. And so when the board wouldn't quite fit and the 2x4 framing just wouldn't fit, he just put a couple extra nails in that thing and forced that thing. And when it came to insulating, it was not quite enough insulation. "I don't want to order any more insulation. This is good enough. Just kind of stretch it, just tear it a little bit. That's good. And then when the sheetrock wouldn't quite come together, just more mud, more plaster is good enough. And when it was all done, I mean, it looked nice. You know, no one could tell anything was wrong except a carpenter, because he knew that he had cut corners here and there. But I mean, it looked good. So finally he took off his belt and he said, "Now I'm done," he said to his boss. "I'm done, I'm going to retire." And the boss said, "I know, you've been so good. You've been my best employee for 30 years. I wanted to give you the keys to this house. That's what it was all about." Now let me ask you, if he knew that that house he was building would be his own, don't you think he would work a little harder? People, listen, especially young sons and daughters. What you're building right now is your future. And if you shortcut it now, you'll have to live in it then. The lesson, write it down. The lesson is take time to build your future well. Take the time. Don't shortcut it. Take the time. Your first family is your heritage, family of your birth, patriarchs, matriarchs. Don't forget who you are. And then learn to make peace with your past, because it'll define your future. Second home is your present home, the repository of discipline. But you have to extract that from foolishness, separate the two, because that discipline is transferable. If not, foolishness will be demeaning everything that you do. Build it well. And your third family, I call it your future family, and that is your eternal family. That is your home church. What? Yeah, your brothers and sisters here. Because be it known to everyone that even people of my relatives, if they don't know Christ, I won't be with them forever. But those of you who do know Christ, this will be our family. This is our eternal family, folks. This is really our family. And what you do here is going to teach you so much about love. Just like your home now teaching you a lot about discipline, the first home was teaching you about how to define things, and then it teaches you discipline. This family is going to teach you tons about love. But this is your eternal family, and that is a family. There was once a day when some people came to Jesus. He was teaching a Bible study, and they said, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want you to go home with them." And Jesus turned and answered, and he replied thus. Let's read this. Go. He replied to him, "Who is my mother And who were my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. This is your eternal family. And here you're going to learn a lot about love. Even as he says in John 13, 34 and 35, read this one, go. A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How are people going to identify us? By our love, not just our love, but our love for one another. And he's saying, love one another just like I
love you.
Watch this. The way I love you, if I don't understand the way God loves me, I'll love you in the same way. If I think God is a policeman, watch how my love for you becomes a performance love. If I think God loves me only when I do good and hates me when I don't do good, then watch how my love will have the same tenor, the same caliber, the same quality to it. That we will do it with our kids. When they do good, oh, I give you favor. If you don't, that's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, you're doing good? Okay, all right. You don't? That's it. That's it. That's it. Why do I love like that? Because that's the way you think God loves you. Let me conclude with a story that'll help you understand. This came on my Facebook just 2 days ago. And I usually don't read these things to you, but this one came and I read it and I thought, this is real important. It was written just a few days ago by someone that I guess the scene was in a supermarket, because he recalls and recounts this thing and how God used it. Wonderful Christian guy. Let me read it to you. He says this. I was waiting behind an older man. The guy was probably homeless, looked like he hadn't showered for a while, and his basket was full of unnecessary small items, tons of them. Now, all I had was one pizza. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting because there's a lady in front of him. And I thought, now when she goes, he's going to take forever. And I thought, at least he could see me that I've just got one pizza and let me go ahead. And just as I thought that, he actually turned around and said, excuse me, young man, why don't you go ahead? You only have a pizza. I thanked him. And when I got there to pay, I took my wallet out and I knew I had $10 in it. I looked in it and there was no $10 there. I scrounged around for several minutes while he, behind me now, was waiting. I looked through all my pockets. I know I had my $10 in here. Finally, I heard this man say to the teller, could you please, you just put his pizza on my bill. Please do that. I turned around and I thanked him. And then I thanked him again. I must have said thank you 6 times before I went to my car. I finally got to my car and I realized that this guy that I didn't even like changed me. I didn't realize how hardened my heart was becoming and how impatient. It was the first time I think I cried in years going down the road. I needed this man to melt my hardened heart. And God sent him, even though at first I didn't like him. But without him, I would have remained the same person, because I never realized what kind of person I was becoming. I would have left as hard as I had arrived. We really do need each other, even when we don't like them at first. Your eternal family. We need each other to make us complete, don't we? Three families. Remember first how to define the things that happen to you, because it's not the event that happens, it's how you define it. Your second family, the repository of discipline. Separate that from foolishness. It'll be the best keys you got to your future. And then your forever family. Here's where we learn love. And we begin to let our bridegroom know how much we love him by the way we love one another. When you get that down, that's called family.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Family Affair by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
I remember when I first started surfing, it was so difficult. I would attempt to catch wave after wave and swim stroke after stroke, only to end up falling back into the breakers. But no matter how many times I fell, I got up. Every morning, I got up and paddled out and kept trying. As we begin the new year, many of us have resolutions and new habits that we're trying to form. Stick with it. And if you've already given up, it's never too late to start again. Keep trying and keep moving forward. And when you do, you'll find that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.